Third floor, Gateway.
Welcome to Campus Roundup, published by The Gateway, the University of Alberta's official student newspaper. Campus Roundup is our bi-weekly podcast with all the important campus news you need to know. My name is Lachlan, and I'll be joined on this podcast by the staff of The Gateway, who have been working to cover the issues affecting you. To kick things off, we're here with our staff reporter, Lily. How are you doing today, Lily?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. So let's get started with the story about international students and the changes of federal government regulations on the hours they can work. What rules are in place for international students now, and how are they going to change?
So currently, international students are only allowed to work 20 hours a week. And starting November 15th, the federal government is going to temporarily lift this limit from 20 hours to unlimited hours. And this pilot project is going to take place until the end of 2023. And the government's going to basically see how it goes, and it will possibly become a permanent policy.
So what's the reaction been from the students that are actually affected by this policy change?
So I've interviewed a few international students, and there seems to be a general consensus that it's a good policy. However, they have different opinions. For example, Lionel Liu, a fourth-year international student and co-VP finance for International Students Association, he thinks that this will be beneficial for the economy, but it may be tough for students to manage both classes and full-time jobs. Whereas Triaksh Mehta, a third-year international student, he thinks that this is a good policy change, but he doesn't plan on working more than 20 hours because it's going to be hard for him to balance, again, classes and a full-time job. But then there's also Gerline Kaur, a third-year international student and UASU VP academic, who says that she was affected by the limit when classes were online and she could work more than 20 hours. And she says that a lot of her friends that are international students are not able to support themselves on 20 hours alone. So in general, this is a good policy for those who do want to work more than 20 hours, but there are concerns that not many will be able to do so.
Thanks for that. The next story that you're here to talk about is our SU Council. So we recently had a by-election for our UASU Council, and let's start really big picture. What is SU Council?
So the Students' Union Council is the legislative body of the Students' Union, and every faculty has a member, undergraduate representative, that attends council and represents their faculty and voices opinions. And these undergraduate representatives are elected by students and the faculty. There was a recent by-election in which was used to fill vacancies on the student council.
So in regards to these vacancies, Milan Regni, the student that was re-elected to council, he was already on council, right?
He was. He was an arts counselor. He ran to switch from arts to the Faculty of Education.
And so how many vacancies are currently on council right now?
Well, I'm reading this from the website right now, su.ualberta.ca. And there are two vacancies for agricultural, life, and environmental sciences, three vacancies for arts, one vacancy for education, one vacancy for law, one vacancy for medicine and dentistry, one vacancy for native studies, one vacancy for open studies, and one vacancy for pharmacy. So in total, that's 11 vacancies. And through this by-election that just happened, there were no vacancies filled because the only person who ran was Milan Regni, and he moved from one faculty to the other.
So having had this by-election, council moved into their first meeting on October 18th. What was the first thing discussed there?
So the first thing discussed, and I guess the main thing discussed, was a possible council remuneration. Mark Dumichel, the UASU general manager, he prepared a report for it as it was previously discussed in other council meetings. And on October 18th, it was merely just discussed.
So what is remuneration? What would it look like in this context?
So a remuneration would be a volunteer getting paid for their service. And in this case, the report was speaking to the viability of counselors getting paid. We don't know for sure what it would look like. Again, the report just kind of covered the history. And we do know that in 2005, there was council remuneration. And it was very shortly lived, to say. And people were paid $500 as a base annual stipend, and it was paid out trimesterly. Again, we don't know if this is what it's going to look like. However, this is just kind of what happened before.
So was any decision made at this council meeting on the topic of remuneration?
No, there wasn't. There was just a discussion. So councillors obviously had different opinions. Some think it's a good idea and that it's well-deserved. Others think that right now it's just not a good time to be paid. Mark Dumichel, the general manager who prepared the report, said, quote, he is concerned about the culture and value of volunteerism, unquote. So again, only discussed, no motion was brought forward.
All right. Thank you so much, Lily.
Thank you.
Next up, we have our opinion editor, Katie, here to do a little bit more analysis about that by-election story we just heard from Lily, as well as talk about a new article that she's recently published regarding cleanliness at the U of A. Hi, Katie. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. So let's start off by picking off from what Lily said about by-election turnout and discuss that in a little more detail. So first of all, what was the turnout out of the 40,000 undergrads that we have at the U of A?
So the turnout was only 2.04% of the student body voted in this by-election. So pretty abysmal.
So looking at this 2.04% turnout, is this pretty standard or is this an outlier from usual turnout for by-elections?
So according to the CRO, this is usual. This is following the trend over the last 5 or 6 years that they've seen.
So why do you think that is?
I think there's been very little outreach. I think voter apathy is getting worse, but they're also not showing students what's going on, what options they do have. And then on top of that, people aren't running. People aren't running in the by-election, so there's not any options for students to care about.
So as Lily said, the SU went into this by-election with 11 vacancies. They came out of it with 11 vacancies, with just one counselor switching which seat they held. What advice do you have for the SU and what options are available to, in the next election or next by-election, to try and put those voter rates up or reduce the number of vacancies?
Well, I know the CRO has plans. He has talked about getting more outreach, making this more noticeable for students. I think they just need to work on how they're doing that. The old way of doing it isn't working. Posting on social media, students don't care. They don't know what's going on in student governance. They don't even know what student council is for the most part. I think making students more aware of what student counselors, like what counselors do. Students don't know. And so why would they vote if they have no idea what's going on?
So continuing off of what Lily talked about in her segment, once council filled that vacancy, the first thing they wanted to really talk about in their council session was remuneration. So can you give a little bit more context about that remuneration?
So basically, remunerations are just added bonuses for volunteer workers to kind of pay them for the work that they've done, just as like a reward, basically. And personally, I don't think this is a good idea. I disagree very strongly with this idea. I don't think it will boost activity or even people just wanting to be on council.
So the issue of remuneration is directly tied to the issue of vacancies and that low voter turnout. What instead would you suggest they do to address those issues?
I do think that councillor positions should remain volunteer positions. I don't think they should be paid. I think governance, especially on a council level, is all about doing it because you care. And I think it would be a real loss to students and to student governance if we took away volunteering. I think instead students need to be consulted. Students need to know what their options are. They need to know what council is. And I think that's the first step, is showing students what council is all about before you ask them whether or not they think council should be paid. Nobody knows what they do. To be very honest with you, no one understands anything the council does or the decisions they make. So it's unfair to start paying people for a job that students don't even know they're doing.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. So our next section that we wanted to talk to you about is about a recent article you published about moderate dinginess. So let's start off with, what is moderate dinginess and why are you talking about it?
So basically, universities have levels of cleanliness that they need to follow. And moderate dinginess is the level of cleanliness that the university follows on all their buildings. So it's designated by the Association of Higher Education Facility Officers, which basically tell universities what they need to do to keep their buildings clean, how they can do it, and what cleanliness entails, basically.
So when we talk about moderate dinginess, as you're walking around campus, what kind of things might you see at a level 4 moderate dinginess?
So a pretty telling one is trash cans can have old garbage in them. And this is a direct quote from the document. Garbage cans can exude a sour odor. Floors must be swept and cleaned, but they can be stained and dull. 5% of all light fixtures can be burnt out, and surfaces can be covered in dirt, dust, smudges, and fingerprints.
So this is the level of cleanliness that the U of A is aiming for. How do you think this impacts students or faculty?
I do think it impacts some students more than others. The author of this article, Matthew Konhauser, he is an art student. He taught from personal experience. When he walks around humanities, and when I walk around Torrey, I do notice that it is very dingy. It is very unclean. But then when you go through Donadeo or CSIS, that same level of cleanliness isn't matched.
So different students paying tuition for the same university are getting a different cleanliness experience?
That is exactly how it feels. When you walk through CSIS, you can tell it's definitely a little cleaner, I would say, than Torrey or Humanities. We did reach out to the university for comment. They did say that all buildings are cleaned at the same level, but just from my own personal experience, I don't think that's true. Over the past year, I have noticed an incredible decline in the cleanliness in Torrey. The bathrooms aren't cleaned often, lights are often out, the clocks don't work. I think art students can identify with this, but I'm not sure that other faculties can.
Campus Roundup is supported by our donors. The Gateway proudly produces free-to-access content thanks to the support of our monthly contributors. You can support The Gateway and keep our journalism free to access using the donation button at gtwy.ca.